I want to preach you a message today on what did you hear today? For today, what did you hear? What did you hear? And was it coming from God's word or just coming from someone else? But I think if we as Christians, we as brothers and sisters in Christ, then I think what we need to be doing, the first thing that we need to share and the first thing that we need to tell people and the first thing that we need to realize that what we hear is about the word of God. And in Revelation chapter 20, in verse 11, what it's speaking about is speaking about the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ. That could happen any day. But he's not in heaven, sitting on the right hand of God the Father, making intercessions for me, making intercession for you. He is your lawyer. He's your advocate. He is the one that we need to go to. He's our master. We don't need to go to the courthouse. We don't need to go nowhere else to find the answer. The answer right here. It's in his Bible. Every answer to any kind of question that individuals wants to come up with, you can be able to take the Bible and you take your little time to search it out. You can search it out and you'll find the answer to it. And the answer that it gives you is the true answer. It's not the Webster Dictionary, because they always make mistakes, because what they got there is pinned down by man. And even the NIV and all these other translations, even the New King James Bible, I mean, they don't have the Word of God. It's not complete, the Word of God. So no individual can get up here and preach the whole counsel of God unless they're preaching from this book, the King James Bible, the authorized 1611, that was translated into the English form. And you're talking about a glorious day. I'm getting homesick. I'm really getting homesick. But he also tells me, he said, but you got something else you need to do. We all have got a job to do until we get home. And after, when we get home, when the church is raptured out, when the church is caught up in air, and all the Christians has gone on to home to heaven, the reason there will not be anybody saved after that we've preached to or we know and everything, but they've been left behind. But the reason that they cannot get saved then is because the Holy Spirit will not be here. That's the only reason. That's one of the main reasons that I got saved, was because of the power of the Holy Ghost. And that power touched my heart. And not only that, the same power touched my heart is the same power that turned me over to Jesus and say, here's a man that you really need to talk to. And he'll tell you all about it. And I'm thankful. And please don't take this out of context or nothing like that. But I am so glad it's for myself now. And if some of you don't don't get what I was getting to, just raise your hand and I'll try to give you another answer to it. Oh, Lord, help me. But if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost of God, I'd have never met you fine people. I'd have never became a Christian. So he had to come on the scene. I mean, you know, that's... And I know y'all probably heard it time and time. I probably said it, ain't gonna tell you how many times. But when a church service comes together, and when the people is there, why does the pastor or the church always talks about Jesus? And then Jesus Christ, and then God. But they don't never bring up the Holy Spirit. You can have God, hey, man, you can love God to death. You can love Jesus to death. That don't mean you're saved. The only way you can get saved, the only way I got saved is believing in the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit convicted me of. That's where conviction comes in. And nobody, today, we don't hear much about that anymore. We don't hear much about where people's becoming under conviction. But it's conviction that will lead us to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. But it says in verse 11 in chapter 20. Verse 19. All right. This right here is in verse 11 in chapter 20 of the book of Revelations. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens flew away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books, B-O-O-K-S, many books, was open, which is the book of life. Things that were written in the books according to thy works, as the sea gave up the dead which were in it, the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to thy works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That right there is the final destination for, as we look at death, it would be the final destination for that lost soul, that where we have almost pleaded to them, and we tell them they're going to hell if they don't accept Christ, and they say, oh no, I think he'll save me when I want to get saved. It's not time enough for me. He can save me when I get old. How old will you be? gonna be 18. If you was to die at 18, that's the oldest that you would ever be, is 18. Some may go on and they may die at 40. But at 40, at their life, is the oldest that they can ever be. They can never hit 50. They can never hit 60. They can never hit 70. But when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior through the power of the Holy Ghost, then He will give us the extra years that He's promised us. Because, you see, the only thing that we're really promised is 70, 70 years. And after that, that is when He gives us a little extra. That's the same way with the church. It's the same way with the tithes and offering. The church itself needs to operate, and they operate on the tithes. But as far as the church being blessed, and as far as the people being blessed, and as far as they growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they got to go above that 10%. They got to go into the offering. The offering is what the Lord blesses us with, not the 10%, because what did He say? The 10% is His. It's mine. And I believe, you know, He can do, I mean, if that's all He wants, He says He can, I mean, He can do anything He wants to in this world and everything on 10%. That's all He's asking, 10%. But yet He turns around and leaves us 90%. And what will we do? We'll take the 90% He's left us, and we'll use it in a way that's not pleasing to God. We won't take that and say, well, we're going to support missionaries, or we're going to support this, or we're going to support that, or something like that. You know, you cannot operate a church like that. You cannot operate a church just on the tithes, because the church will not stand. Because if a church stands for anything at all, it stands on the offering that we give. And that's above what He's commanded us to do. That's just like, you know, He says over there in the book of Genesis, you know, we're all predestined to go to heaven before the first man come on the scene. Yeah, before man, before Eve, Adam and Eve, before they come on the scene, God had in His mind to create people, and He had in mind to raise up mankind. And then He was there, and He come to find out that mankind could not live alone. They could not live alone. So He gave Adam a helpmate there. And when He did, she was right beside Adam. Right beside Adam. You know, I believe, and this is what I believe. I mean, I may be completely wrong. If I am, I'm going to have to answer to God about it. But I believe, and I know I've said it in the past before, that I said the order in which His covenant comes about is that He, first of all, He creates this earth He creates all the trees, all the flowers, all the different color flowers out here. He creates the animals. He creates the fish and the whale. He creates all of that. And some people say, well, why did he do that? Well, he had to create all of that for man to have, so man could eat. What do you mean? Well, God can't provide them something to eat. Yeah, he did it, didn't he? He did it his way. And he gave them all there, a way that they can get out of all the condemnation, get out all the fury that they was have to go under and everything. Salvation is a gift. And the way I like to explain it, gift, is that you gonna give it to someone and you're gonna wrap it up and you're gonna put a bow on it and then you're gonna give it to them like we do at Christmas. Everybody always gets gifts that's in a box. They'll put a wrapping papers all over it. They'll even put newspapers on them. And then put a bow on it. And then one or two people will get up under the tree and they'll start calling out the names. And when they start calling out the names of the people, then they will come forth. And while they coming forth from their pew, they're thinking the whole time, what in the world could that be? In that small box, as small as it is, what in the world can it be? Then some of them will have a great big box. They say, what in the world is in that great big box? I have no idea. But they're thinking about that all the time. They're thinking about the gift all the time. But when they get the gift, they'll get back to the seat. And then they'll open the gifts then. We're not as excited about the things of Christ like the children are. Like the children are at Christmas. Because you can call that little child up here, that 8-10-year-old child up here, call the name and ask them to come forward. And they come up here and they say, what? They say, yeah, we got a gift right here for you. It's got your name on it. It's got your name on it. What? And they say, what is it? Can you tell me, please tell me what it is? I have no idea. That's the only kind of answer you come up with. I have no idea. Because see, the package was already wrapped at home and then brought to the church. And then, on top of that, they didn't get the answer. What was in the box, what the gift was. And you think that young child, you think that child had come all the way to the front, all the way to the Christmas tree. Now I know some churches don't like to have Christmas trees in the church. Well, a Christmas tree has meaning behind it. But I'm not going to go there yet. But that child knows if he goes back to his pew, he's going to either walk or run. What do you think he's going to do? He can probably run. But I've got another scenario for you. That's the gift. That's the true gift of the meaning of salvation. That's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. When the Bible refers to salvation as a gift of God, it means just that, a gift. That's what it means, a gift. Nothing else. You cannot replace it with anything else. And a gift cannot be earned. And it is not a reward for service rendered. We don't receive. I did not receive that gift of salvation just to be receiving it. Because the Holy Spirit spoke to me at home. The reason I could receive that gift is through somebody else that had done already answered some of the questions that I had. And that was the due of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave me the answers that I needed. So when he did point me in the right direction to Jesus Christ, Jesus is going to ask me, says, "Are you saved? You want to be saved?" I know some people will probably come up right and say, "Well, Lord, you know, not right now. I'm a hen. I'm just in my prime. I'm just his. 32 years old, and I got a whole lot of oats that I need to sow out here. I got a whole lot of oats to sow. So not today." Then that's when the Holy Spirit introduced him to Jesus. And then Jesus says, "Why not today?" He said, "Well, I got a whole lot of oats that I need to sow. I got things that I have to do. I got things that I need to clean up. I need to clean my household. I need to clean my closet out, my life. I need to clean everything else about me out, completely out of the way." The Lord Jesus says, "No, you don't. Did I ask you to do that? Did I ask you to go home? And you get back there in your little study there, and you write down everything that you do wrong, that you knowingly do wrong every day, and the places that you go every day that is not pleasing unto me. No, I didn't ask you to do that. I didn't ask you to go to change your life, because you don't know what you need to change it to. Because your life was served with Satan. And he's the deceiver of all mankind. And he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. But why should salvation must be a gift? Why should it be a gift? Well, my Bible says it's the only way you can receive Jesus Christ. It's through the gift. Isaiah 43:25. I am that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sin. Jesus Christ is telling an individual, says, You say you got to clean up your life. No, you don't. You don't have to clean up nothing. You allow me to do the cleaning. Would we want somebody to come in our home and clean our home, mop our floors, dust the house, wash the clothes? Would we want somebody to come in our house and do all of that? they come in, they got mud on the brogan. They got long hair. And they look like they just got out of liquor joint or something like that. Are you gonna trust somebody like that to take care of your home? Uh-uh. Because that's exactly what Jesus is telling us, the people, that he saves. That he tells you, you cannot do it yourself. It's an impossible. Because you cannot, because you're going to have some pet sin that you're not going to get rid of. And we all have pet sins. But we sometimes we do confess them. But then sometimes we don't. But that's when the Lord Jesus is still on us. It's still on us. So I say, go on now. Go on. Go on. If you want a blessing this week, you've got to do it all the way. You got to trust me all the way, not just part of the way, not just 90% of the way. You got to trust me 110% of the way. Because a man does not have the ability to blot out their past, sin, or to give himself eternal life. That's what I was just talking about. John chapter 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. What the sinner needs, what the sinner is needs and they're not looking for is not religion. And I know what a whole lot of people are talking about, especially Christians when they're talking about, you know, religion. But they get this thing, religion, wrong. They need to start using the word Christian. And I know that we're not really a true believer of a Christian, because a true believing Christian, a Christian, is they trying to be like Christ. But a whole lot of times we don't even try. Some people don't even want to try. They said, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I can take you to the church. I can take you back in the woods where I got saved at. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to tithe. No, and God don't have to take you to heaven either. But religion. People use the word religion and they really don't know what it means. If they really would look up the word religion, you'll come to find out that a whole lot of the people out here that don't trust him. Yes, they have religion. They have religion in something that they've seen or something that they've heard from somebody else. But you cannot get saved through religion. It's only through the power and the preaching of his word. That's what he says. That's what Paul says. It's through the power and the presence of the preaching. That's the only way. They just need to try Jesus. Hey, I put it out there before. I said, you know, I tell you what. I said, if you promise me this, if you promise me that you'll come to church 30 days, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. If You don't have to work Sunday night or Wednesday night. You be here. Then within that 30 days, you go out here and you see what you can do, and maybe by bringing some other people in or whatever. But you try for 30 days. If you give it an honest try for 30 days, I promise you one thing. And that's one thing that you really can't be 100% sure on, the promises that we make to people. But we as individuals, we can promise them, if they would just give God a chance for 30 days, give them everything they got for 30 days. Sunday morning for Sunday school, Sunday morning for preaching, Sunday night and Wednesday night. And then if you happen to have a revival that month, that they come and they're supposed to be that. They're supposed to be in all revival. When they come to church, when people come to church, they need to come to church for one reason and one reason only: to receive the Word of God. Not only that, they need to come with anticipation of allowing what's being preached, that some portions of it will touch my life and would help me to realize that I need to step from this pew and I need to go to the front and I need to come to the altar. I tell you, I never have been the same since that first soul that I won to the Lord. It won't me. The Lord just used me. But the Lord just also gave me His word too. Because, and even now today, I pray every day, and I pray the next time I get up to preach, whether it's at the church or preacher's fellowship or anywhere, that His words would leave His lips and leave His tongue, and they will be placed on my tongue and be placed on my lips, that what I thought I was going to preach has wiped everything out of the way. I don't need to preach what I want to preach. Because if I did, it would be a man. Why salvation must be a gift. Salvation is a gift purchased at a great price. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Who he is, own self bear our sin in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. You know, you can go back over to Isaiah chapter 53, I believe it is. There's one showing in verses there. It's talking about where you're talking about the stripes. It's talking about the stripes that you're being healed with. That's not teaching about where you receive the same stripes. That does not say anything else except what it says. That right there, when it says the healing, it's the divine healing of God. And if we don't have that placed in our heart and placed in our mind to believe in divine healing that only comes from God, it don't come from no doctor, it don't come from no medication, it don't come from the pharmacy, it don't come from the pharmaceutical places that make it, it don't come from the government, it don't come from Medicare, it don't come from all of them. No. You know where the divine healing comes from? You know where the healing really comes from? It comes from God the Father. Because you know something? And Lord, the first time I went to gig down there and I saw the doctor, this is the first time I went, and he took the blood and everything. Hadn't ever got the results back then. But that day he says, now, here, you're at a mother's trap. And he says, that's what we do. He says, but before you go into surgery, before you even go in as a patient, you have to meet at least 10 or 12 doctors in surgery. And each one of them doctors in surgery, they are in a field specifically on one thing, and that's what they treat. They may not have anything at all to do with the lower part, but they might have something to do with the blood pressure. Then another doctor will have something to do with something else. And he told me, he said, I'm not trying to scare you. And he said that we've come a long ways. We've come a long ways. He said, it used to be, you come in here and we do a liver transplant. And I've seen them stay in here at least 30 days. And then the liver that they receive, the body will reject it. And he told me, he said, all of that is just about been done away with. He said, well, we really can't say, you may not have none of it happen, but you need to realize that anything can happen. Because we're human. And when he said that, I appreciated that. I appreciated that when he told me that. But you know, I never have worried about the liver transplant. If he told me that week or next week, if he called me and told me, he said, you need to be down here Monday, at a certain church time. You've got to come in here, got to get your room, and you're going to see all the doctors. Now, naturally, the only time that you see all the doctors and the surgeons and everything is when they're about ready to do a transplant. And I haven't seen the first surgeon yet. I've seen one doctor every time that I've been, except for one time, and he had his associate to come in then. So it's not by trusting the doctors. It's by who we have our faith and our trust in. Do we truly have our faith into the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we really trust him? Do we trust him to the point that, Lord, I know that the only way that this church will grow, the only way that other people can ever be able to come in, is that we're going to have to go out there and we're going to have to brag about Faith Baptist Church. Just think about the word faith. We have to go on that faith. And what we tell the people, that we done it for the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't do it for myself. We didn't do it for Faith Baptist Church. We done it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know something? He's not going to save nobody unless they're brought to Him. Unless they're brought to Him. And thank God for that. I sure am thankful that the day that I got saved, when I got saved, I'm thankful, I'm so glad that it was at home. I'm so glad that when I got saved, I was introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad when I got saved, I didn't have to depend on nothing. I didn't have to depend on anybody else. I didn't have to depend on baptism. I didn't have to depend on the Lord's Supper. I didn't have to depend on joining the church. I depended on Him. What He gave me an answer to that night when I told Him that yes, I was a sinner. And it's something I've been looking for all along, and I don't know what it was. But your companion told me that you needed me. And you know, we say things like that, and we say, why did you say something like that? I said, you know, God says He knows everything. That's true. But how many people out here thinks that God knows everything? And I'll tell you one thing. I'm so thankful that somebody got a hold of my heart and brought me the gospel. And me going to church and getting tied up to the point that they said, where you got saved at? They say, Brush Off a Baptist Church. It wasn't in my home. You know where it was at? It was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it was at. But I sure am glad that He got a hold of my heart before the Baptist did. Because I got a feeling that's what's wrong with a whole lot of people. They came in and they listened to the gospel singing. They listened to the prayers. They listened to the preaching. But it went through one ear and out the other. Went through one ear and out to the other. And I believe, really, that if an individual is sincere about it and say, Lord, allow me to hear every word and allow me to be remembered of every word that was said today, that it will not just go in one ear and out the other. If we ask the Lord to do that, don't you think He'd do it? Should it? Are you gonna tell me why? I think between your ears, I think you got some large gate there. On the right side, on the left side of that gate, you're there in hell.
You're there serving for the devil. You're there going to where the devil wants you to go out here to, and meet people and tell them, say, I'll tell you what, this Friday night, we're just going to have a little fun this Friday night. He said, no, I thought you were going to church. He said, no, I ain't going to church. I don't need you to go back to church. He said, I don't need it. Don't. But then, on the right hand, on the right ear, the right side, is hell. Speaking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And when we're on the left side, and when we want to hear, when we pray honestly with our own heart, that these words will not pass through me to where I can't remember them this week or next week when I need them. It passed through your left ear. It goes so far and it stops. You know what it's doing? You know what it stops? Because what it's doing is it's taking what you've just learned. And it brings meditation to you. And you just learn some things that you did not even know.
I have learned so much from each one of you since I've been here. And I'm not just saying it because you're here. I tell people all the time. I said, I would not trade
the 7 or 8 people that I had at this church. For them to come into the church. I would not trade them. I said, because I'd rather have 8 people loved God and was faithful to Him than to have 100 people and you only got 50% of the rest. I got 100% and I'm tickled to death with 100%.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, we pray, Father, that you go with us this week. Father, help us, Lord, that we may be able to invite someone to church. Father, we can be able to brag about the church. We can be able to brag about what we hear and the messages, Father. And, Lord, I just ask, God, that you'll just grant the blessings upon these people that are so faithful to you. Now, Father, you need to be faithful to them, and we know that you will. And I just want to just say thank you, Father. For what you're going to do, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Don't fall.
Well, I might as well say don't fall.
Don't fall.
y'all have a need, you just give me a call, and if I can do it, I'll do what I can.
Dark clouds.
He didn't cry, he sat up in that chair like a big boy, I guess because he was fascinated with that blue thing she put around him. And when he got through and Kelly picked him up and she said, hold him, mama, so I can get the hair off his back, he cried then to get back in the chair. That's when she said, that dangle. And the day she was taking a spray bottle that had mist of water, and he loves water, so he just loved that when it come in his face.
He had his best time.
He did. And she said, Sherry saved all the hair for her.
Did that, sir?
It's the first beauty shop right behind she. Sherry, I hadn't either, but that's where Kelly goes to get her hair cut and dyed when she goes. So she made an appointment for 4 o'clock, and I said, I'll be there.
So you went?
No, I went to. I said,
sorry, won't he?